My dearly beloved in Christ, I have always been struck by the words of the introit for today's Mass, the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. While all things were in quiet silence, and the night was in the midst of her course, thine almighty word, O Lord, leapt down from heaven, from thy royal throne. And we think about the Nativity at midnight when all was quiet, and we oftentimes think about the cave, how poor it was, how cold, how uncomfortable for the maker of heaven and earth. But you know something? There was one thing that was not present in that cave that God abhors, and that was sin. There was no sin in that midnight cave. There was our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, the two holiest creatures that God created. There were the animals who cannot sin. And of course, there were no doubt thousands of angels. And so Almighty God delighted to come into that little cave because there was nothing offensive to him there. And as we think about the Christmas season, what lessons we should learn, what we should take with us, perhaps the most important is conquering sin in our lives, that we might be more and more pleasing to the divine child. And in particular, we ought to strive for the virtue of charity and to overcome sins against charity. Because again, when we think about Christmas time, we call to mind those words of Almighty God, as quoted in Scripture, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son so loved us that he laid down his life for us. So Christmas is all about love, the love of God for his poor creatures, and the love that we ought to give him in return. And a measure of our love for God, in addition to keeping his commandments, is the degree to which we love our neighbor, practice of charity. Now today, we have the feast of St. Thomas a Becket. He was a bishop who was martyred on this day in the year 1170. He was put to death by advisors or friends of the king, King Henry II, who kept saying, "Who is going to rid me of this meddlesome cleric?" Referring to the Archbishop of Canterbury. And finally, some of his friends took the advice that the king wanted them to do away with the Archbishop, and they martyred him, not only sacrilegiously, here the anointed of God, the bishop, the Archbishop of Canterbury, but they slew him right in his cathedral, inside the church. And you can go there to this day, and they show you the spot in the church where he was martyred. But like all saints, he forgave. He forgave the king as he was being put to death and those who martyred him. And we especially had the wonderful example 3 days ago of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, the proto-martyr. And we read the story in the Acts of the Apostles that he was brought before the Sanhedrin, and he not only defended our Lord, but he proved to them that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. He quoted from the Old Testament in a lengthy speech before the Sanhedrin. And it says they couldn't resist what he said, that his face was like that of an angel. And finally he said, he looked up and he said, "I see the heavens opened, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And that was too much for them. They closed their ears, they gnashed their teeth at him, it says, and they rushed him out of the city and stoned him to death. But it also says that they laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now Saul later was converted and became Saint Paul. Why? Or how did this happen? Well, it was a powerful grace that was given to St. Paul. We all know the story of his conversion. But that grace was earned by Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church. Stephen, who prayed for and forgave his executioners. As he was being stoned, the last thing he said before he expired, and it says in the Bible that he said in a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He imitated our Lord himself. Remember, the first word of Jesus from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So St. Stephen prayed for the forgiveness of those who stoned him to death. And St. Augustine makes the astute observation that had there not been that prayer of Stephen, there would never have been a St. Paul. You see, his forgiveness and his prayer for forgiveness earned the grace of conversion for St. Paul. How powerful it is and how pleasing to Almighty God when we forgive injuries. And we must forgive. Do we not pray in the Lord's Prayer, this latter part of the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And we all want God to forgive us our sins. Do we forgive, and do we readily forgive those who have offended us? Now, some may say, and I hope everyone says, "Yes, I forgive him who has offended me. I forgive him." But do we go the next step and forget? Not only to forgive, but to forget. And you know something? According to the words of the Bible, that's what God does for the repentant sinner. He not only forgives, but he forgets. We read that in the book of Isaiah, also the prophecy of Jeremiah, and also in the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, that when a sinner repents, God says, "I will no longer remember his iniquities." Now that's an amazing thought, because God can't really forget something. God knows all things, past, present, and future. He is omniscient. But what he means to convey is that he won't hold it against the sinner. He not only forgives, but he forgets. "I will no longer, for the sinner who repents, I will no longer remember his iniquities." And we have to do the same thing. We have to forgive and forget. I want to read to you from St. John Climacus. Now, St. John Climacus lived in the 4th century, and he lived among monks and went around to different monasteries because he wanted to learn the way of perfection. And he wrote a book called The Ladder of Perfection, like a ladder going over the different rungs on our way up to heaven. But this is an interesting section I came across in reading this book from The Ladder of Perfection by St. John Climacus. "Remembrance of wrongs is the consummation of anger, the keeper of sins, hatred of righteousness, ruin of virtues, poison of the soul, worm of the mind, shame of prayer, stopping of supplication, estrangement of love, a nail stuck in the soul, pleasureless feeling beloved in the sweetness of bitterness, continuous sin, unsleeping transgression, hourly malice." Very strong words. He refers to remembrance of iniquities as a dark and hateful passion. He goes on to say, "When, after much struggling, you are still unable to extract this thorn, you should apologize to your enemy, even if only in word. Then perhaps you may be ashamed of your long-standing insincerity towards him. And as your conscience stings you like fire, you may feel perfect love toward him. You will know that you have completely got rid of this rot," refers to the remembrance of offenses as a rot in the soul. "You will know that you have completely got rid of this rot, not when you pray for the person who has offended you, nor when you exchange presents with him, nor when you invite him to your table, but only when, on hearing that he has fallen into spiritual or bodily misfortune, you suffer and weep for him as for yourself. Amazing words. Words that we ought to strive, we must strive to put into practice. So remember, Christmas is all about love. The love of God for us. The love of the Father that he would send his Son. And the love of Jesus that he would come into the world, live a life of suffering and privation and pain, and end up dying a humiliating and painful death that we might be with him forever. St. Paul says in today's epistle to the Galatians that God has given to us the adoption of sons. Well, when you're adopted, you share in the inheritance. And so we are the adopted children of God. We share the inheritance of the happiness of heaven, and it will be ours if we persevere in conquering sin, loving God, loving our neighbor, forgiving injuries, forgetting wrongs, and striving always to be pleasing to Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.